And so today, we're in this series, you know, I get week two here out of Cochrane, about talking about this idea of unwrapped, that Jesus actually brings gifts. And so I wanted to start today by talking to you about a gift that my wife once gave me. My wife, bless her heart, she is not a techie. And I'm notoriously hard to buy gifts for. How many of you are like me? You're like, people are like, what do you want? You're like, I'm kind of okay. We got seven of you are tough to buy gifts for. Like I turned to my wife, she said, what do you want for Christmas? I'm like, honestly, I'd be okay with nothing. And she just looked at me, she's like, okay, Scrooge. I'll figure it out. So one year, about 6 years ago, 2012, it was my birthday, and my wife, she went out, and she got me a bunch of gifts. She was so excited. And I opened up one of the gifts, and it was this little gray speaker. She's like, it's a Bluetooth speaker. And it was 2012, and you know, I sort of understood the concept of Bluetooth, but I didn't get the magic of Bluetooth. So I said, thanks, babe. And I put it up in our back closet, and it sat there for like 5 years, collecting dust. I know, one of you said, oh, my poor wife. I love her so much. Then about, you know, 16 months ago, I took out this little box. I'm like, I wonder what this thing really can do. And it was amazing. It's like a magical power. Like this speaker, you could just charge it and then take it anywhere you want. And it plays music from your phone. Like magic. And so I can take it outside while I'm having a fire. I can take it when I'm going camping. I can put it downstairs when I'm trying to exercise and fight the war on gravity. I can play music when I'm praying just quietly in the background. I can play music around the Christmas tree. I can play music when my children are way too loud, which is every day. This gift is amazing. It's remarkable, and I never knew it. And I never knew it, and it sat collecting dust. Today, I want to say this. Many of you have received a gift from Jesus Christ that you've never used. You've never known the power of the very Spirit of God who lives within you. And today, I've come, and by God's grace, some of you are going to awaken to this reality, and you're going to walk in the power and fullness of Jesus. That's what we're talking about today. Jesus gives the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, today's a great day to know him. Like, it's an amazing day, and he wants to put his Spirit within you to totally transform every aspect of your life, and then to use you to change the world that is into the world that ought to be, but even better because it's his plan, not ours. One of the great critiques of people in Calgary and in Cochrane about those of us who call ourselves Christians is this: we live such ordinary lives. We live such powerless lives. We have the same stresses, we have the same amount of divorces, we have the same amount of infidelity, we have the same addictions to pornography, we have the same amount of joy, we have the same amount of stress, we're the same. But friends, I'm here to tell you some good news. If you've embraced Jesus Christ and he's embraced you, he put his Spirit within you. And he wants to enliven you. So that's what we're talking about today. You ready? Whew, let's try that again. That's what we're talking about today. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Amen. All right. Now we're talking. All right, I'm going to pray. Then we're going to get to the Word. And we're going to talk about this amazing gift that Jesus Christ has given those of us who've embraced him. And those of us who have not, today he's willing to pour out his Spirit on you. So let's pray together. Father, you love every man, woman, and child in this room. And Jesus, you came so that we would have life and life to the full. And Holy Spirit of God, you're in this room. And you're in so many of us. But we invite you to fill us and fill this place. And speak to us and speak to me. Speak through us. So come, Holy Spirit, fill us in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you've got a Bible, you can flip to Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at 9 verses, Romans 8 verses 9 through 17. The book of Romans is written by a guy named Paul. Many of you knew that. But again, I want you to clue in on this fact that Paul the entirety of his life changed when he met Jesus. Why? Because he was filled with the Spirit of God. He was filled with the Spirit. And everything about his life changed. And so he's writing to a church in Rome, and he's speaking to them. He's speaking to these, you know, first century followers of Jesus. And here's what he says to them. And so if you're here and you know Jesus, this, in a sense, is for you. And if you don't know Jesus, this is an invitation for you. Verse 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we're children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. This is God's word. Jesus gives us Holy Spirit. Jesus gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. What does the Spirit do? I want to outline four things from this text for you today. And then in about 22 minutes, I got 22 minutes, 22 minute timer, I'm going to ask some of you to stand. Because some of you, you know that if the Spirit lives within you, he's been put on the back shelf. You're not living in the fullness and power of God. And so in 21 and a half minutes, I'm going to ask you to stand humbly before a loving, kind God who always opposes the proud but always gives grace to the humble, and ask Jesus to fill you afresh. You got 22 minutes. So here's what Jesus does. He gives us the Spirit, and the Spirit brings about the presence of Jesus in your life today, now, current reality. Not something we're just waiting for. Right now, the Spirit brings Jesus' presence. The Spirit brings Jesus' power. He radically transforms our lives and empowers us to partner with him to change the world. The Spirit brings Jesus' privileges. Some of you don't know this. Some of you don't. You know it up in your head, but you don't know it in your heart. But you're children of God. You're a child of God. Finally, the Spirit gives us Jesus' perseverance. So, let's rock and roll. Let's talk about the presence of Jesus. So, verse 9, he's writing to people who know Jesus. He says this, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ, but Christ is in you. If Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. So here's the big idea. When your Heavenly Father embraces you and when you embrace Jesus, he actually put his Spirit within you. How many of you believe that? Like today, do you believe that? Oh, some of you cheer. I like that. They don't do that in my church. They just stare at me. I like this church. I told you I loved you. I just didn't know how much. The Spirit of Jesus comes and lives within you. Now, some of you, if you're honest, I'm not going to ask you to raise hands. Don't raise your hands. Do not. But I wonder how many of us are afraid of the Spirit of Jesus.
But hear me, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, actually is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and he comes to live within you, and he wants to lead you and guide you. And here's one of the great problems when we're afraid of the Spirit of God, and we put him on the back shelf, we start to live in our own strength. We live without the presence of Jesus, meaning we don't have this deep sense of God with us. Like today. Did you wake up and go, oh man, God is with me? Did you have that sense when you walked in here today? See, if you know Jesus Christ, he's with you. Like he's living within you. And this is amazing news because some of you, I hate to say it, some of you are lousy. That's funny. I hope you get in the car. I'm lousy too. Like in your own strength, on your own, without Jesus, you're just a person. But if Jesus lives within you, don't you love Jesus? Like even my friends, I got loads of friends who don't know Jesus, and they love Jesus. They're like, Jesus is really bold. Jesus is really courageous. There's famous, you know, you've all heard the quote by Mahatma Gandhi, I love your Christ, but I do not like your Christians. Here's what he was saying, that when I see Jesus, I don't see him in his people, but here's the good news, he lives in you. And if you come to Jesus every day, Jesus, fill me again with your Spirit. He does. It's his promise. Now, some of you don't believe it. It's okay. You're kind of questioning. Who's this young guy from Calgary? What does he know? So I'll tell you a story. I grew up going to church. I'm 4 or 5 years old. Some of you know this story because it's yours. 4 or 5, I gave my life to Jesus, and something did change. I had this love for God, and I grew up with it, and I went through sort of the typical stages that happens when adolescents develop. They rebel, and they come back, and they rebel, and they come back, and they rebel, and they come back. And at about 16, I had made up my mind. I wanted to follow God with my whole heart. Now, hear me. Here's the problem. See, the Spirit came to bring Jesus' power, but I was living in my own strength. So I did the right things, but I was living in my own power. Excuse me. It says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. There's this power we're meant to have, and here was the problem. I was living in my own power. So I didn't swear, I didn't drink, I didn't chew, and I didn't go with girls who do. I was good. I followed the rules. I was a top student in my school. I went to youth group. I was good. Then my folks transferred from Regina, God's land. to Calgary. And because I had walked in my own power, here's what I thought. God, I've been really good. I've been walking in my own power, doing my own thing, and I've obeyed you. And now you wronged me. You've stolen my life from me. And I have served you over and over like a slave. Some of you serve God so hard, but it's been out of your own strength. So when there's pain in your life, you don't know what to do with it. That you were never meant to live that way. You were meant to live with the power of Jesus. So I decided, rather than, you know, doing all the right things, I decided I'd do all the wrong things in my own power too. So for the next, you know, when I turned 17 and a half, spent the next couple of years being a binge drinker. I drank as heavily as I could, 20 drinks easily a night, 4 nights a week, every week minimum. I was heavily addicted to pornography. I lied and manipulated people all the time, including women. It's my great shame. And I remember going, is this what life really is? See, the church thing, religion,
And religion is this. Religion is operating in your own strength to do enough good deeds so that God will finally owe you, bless you, take you to heaven, give you good karma, give you help you achieve nirvana. Religion is always about what you can do to live a new life. Religion, the law, always brings death.
Amen.
Amen. Always. But running from God also brings death. I've done them both. And so I felt entangled in sin, riddled with sin, riddled with addiction. Now, some of you, you have nice addictions. Some of you have nice addictions. Like mine, at least I did some bad ones. Yours are harder to see. Some of you are addicted to gossip. Some of you are addicted to wealth or status. It's just, and it leads to death, friends. I don't say that to condemn you. How could I condemn you? You just heard my story. I say it because the Spirit of Jesus wants to put the power of God within you. Today, right now, I don't care if you're 75 years old or 13 or however, 14 or 5. The Spirit of God comes and lives within you. What He wants to do is make real the presence of Jesus, but also the power of Jesus. So hear me. We don't gather to play church. We gather to encounter God. It's a 10-minute warning. In 10 minutes, oh, what a beautiful man. Can we thank him for helping me? Excuse me. All right. 10-minute warning in 10 minutes. Some of you have been walking in your own strength. Some of you have been walking without the presence of Jesus, an active sense in your life. You're going to be invited to stand. And the Spirit is going to fill some of you again. So I was walking in my own power. I was running from God. I was completely stuck. And some of you are stuck today. But hear me. If you know Jesus, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. What's good stuff? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. You know what that means? It's time for a change. But not in your own strength. Not in your own strength. The presence and the power are so important. Because here's what happens. When you start to allow the Spirit of God to lead you. So again, verse 12, it'll say. It's going to be a little bit earlier. It's verse 14. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Could say sons and daughters. Now, the concept there of sonship was about high and elevated status. So Paul's writing to men and women, right? But in the ancient world, sons got all the status. But the Spirit brings status to all the daughters of God and all the sons of God. You'll be led by the Spirit of God. So my wife, she's an amazing woman. She is really, really, really great at being, like, family-focused. Like I'm a pretty tough guy. Played a lot of sports growing up. I'm a bit stubborn. Jesus is working on me. And I can be very, very driven. I know how to work hard. When I was going to Bible college, I'd work 70-plus hours a week every week just to pay for school. When we got married, I worked full-time, and I also studied full-time and had a kid. It was fun. I was busy. But my wife, she's tough. She's tough, and she's really family-oriented, more so than I would be on my own. And here's the amazing part. She calls me home. So I eat dinner with my kids virtually every day. See, what's amazing is this. When I don't resist my wife, she calls me to become a better person. And I just obey. It's easy. I listen. I'm a better dad for it. I'm a better man for it. just by being with my wife, I'm different. Hear me, the Spirit of Jesus is bringing the presence of Jesus and the power of Jesus into your life, and the Spirit of God is calling you to life. He's calling you. Let's talk about Jesus' privileges. We'll jump to verse 12. We'll read a bit of text here. It says, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. This is how the Spirit actually leads you into freedom, fills you with the presence of Jesus, fills you with the power of God and the love of God. And when you're filled with the love of God, when you're filled with the love of God, you live different. Like, hear me, I don't feel lustful when I'm full of the love of God. I just don't. I don't feel so angry. And some of you, you're angry. I don't condemn you. Jesus didn't come to condemn you. He came to set you free. So the Spirit wants to lead you into life. And then it says this. 13, if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Verse 15, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship or the spirit of adoption. The translation could go either way. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. These are some of Jesus' privileges. Jesus is the only Son of God. He's the rightful one. But on the cross, he screams out. He's hanging there, beaten and bloodied and very likely naked, mocked, people gambling for his clothes. And he screams out, my God, my God. Why have you forsaken me? Here's why. So your heavenly Father could adopt you. Jesus is taking all the shame and dishonor that you have, and all the guilt, and all the evil, and all the darkness, and all the sin, and all the pain, and all the junk, all of it. He took it on himself so that we could have his privileges. So you could receive the spirit of adoption, spirit of sonship. So that you could have the privileges of Jesus. You could call God Abba. Don't think Dancing Queen, but it's almost impossible not to. Not that dated, Mike, all right? Daddy. How do you see your Heavenly Father? Do you see him as a smiling, accepting dad? Or is he stern and cold? If you see him as stern and cold or withdrawn or aloof, might I suggest that today you need a filling of the Spirit again? Because this says we cry out, Daddy. When my little boys are hurting, my youngest especially, when he hurts, and he fell down the stairs, two stairs, don't worry. Small stairs, carpeted. He fell down, and he ran to me, and he was crying. And he came, and I got down on my knees, and I held him. I said, it's going to be okay. Then I kissed him on the head and wiped his tears from his eyes. I said, I love you. You've got this. You strong? He looked at me, some of you are carrying such pain in this room. I can feel it. And you have a loving Heavenly Father who wants to take you in his arms and wipe the tears from your eyes. And that comes when the Spirit of God fills us again. It's the privilege of everyone who knows Jesus. When my kids are guilty, they try to run and hide and lie. I don't know if you've ever had that kind of experience. More than anything, I just want them to come tell me the truth. Sometimes when we grow up, we treat God the same way. We're so afraid that if we were honest about who we are and what we've done, he wouldn't receive us, but he does. The privileges. One last thought, 2-minute warning, and then prayer time. One more privilege. We are co-heirs with Christ. We're heirs of God. This comes when we receive the Spirit of Jesus. My kids, you know, it's amazing. One day, unless Jesus comes back first, and he will come back, mark my words. But one day, everything that I have will become my children's. I kind of love that about life. Like, I'm not looking forward to the end part, you know, like saying goodbye and all that stuff. But I can't wait to just pour out every blessing I could possibly pour out on my children. Your Heavenly Father is doing that for you. Through the Spirit of God. You are a co-heir with Christ. That means everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you. Everything that belongs to Jesus. Some of you don't believe that. But hear me, it's time to start trusting again what the Word of God says. One last thought. The Spirit gives us Jesus' perseverance, gives us his toughness. The end. Verse 17. Now if we are children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his future glory. If you want to walk in the fullness of Jesus, and some of you I know you do. If you want to walk in the fullness of the Spirit of God. If you want to be led by the Spirit to change Cochrane. And you actually have the potential in this room, not because you're great, but because the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead lives within you, Cochrane Alliance. You actually have the power, but if you step out there and start living it, I guarantee you, you will suffer. I have suffered. But we have the toughness of Jesus. So the book of Hebrews says he scorned the shame of the cross. He knew what was coming and he said, let it be. Let it be. One-minute warning. I'll give you my story. 19 and a half, 20-ish. I'm a binge drinker. I'm a drunk. An angry young man. I'm addicted to pornography. I'm a liar. I'm a manipulator. And I'm sitting in church, front row, dead center. That's where I used to sit. I didn't want to fight with my parents about not going to church. It was just too much effort. We were singing. Lions Church in Calgary. And God gripped my heart. Some of you, God has been gripping your heart today. I got on my knees. That was really weird. I'd never done that before. I'd never seen anyone do that before. I was weeping. I got on my knees, and here was my prayer. It was a prayer of surrender. God, you win. Whatever you want, whatever you ask, I'll do it. And the Spirit of Jesus filled me afresh. He was already living within me. He had been dusted off and set free. And I stood up, a changed person. What we're going to do is I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray a prayer of surrender, and then I'm going to ask you to stand. Not all of you need to stand. Many of you do. And we're going to stand asking the Spirit of Jesus to fill us once again. So I'm going to invite the band up here. They're going to play quietly in the background. Before we ask for the filling of the Spirit, we must surrender our wills. Everyone who is a child of God must be led by the Spirit of God. Being led requires surrender. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer of surrender. Then we're going to make this a sacred place. We're all going to have our eyes closed. And I'm going to ask some of you to stand. And we're going to ask the Spirit to come fill you in a fresh way. So I'm going to ask you all to close your eyes, whether you're going to participate or not. But I'm going to lead us in a prayer of surrender. And then the Spirit's going to come. I'm going to ask all of you to close your eyes, everyone. I'm going to be a bit firm on this. I want to create a sacred space where it's you and the Lord. So in your head and your hearts, if you're ready to surrender once again to Jesus, who gave himself fully for you, you can repeat in your head and your heart, or even whisper under your breath with me, Jesus, I give you myself. I commit to do whatever you ask. Forgive me for walking in my own way. Lead me. Fill me. Jesus, I want your presence. Jesus, I want your power. Jesus, I receive your privileges. Jesus, I walk in your perseverance. So I'm going to ask you all to keep your eyes closed. But those of you who know that you need the Spirit of God in a fresh way today, I'm going to invite you to stand right now. Right now. The rest of you can keep your eyes closed. I do always like to say to those who are sitting, but you know you ought to stand, but you're afraid, stand. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So come, Holy Spirit of God. Fall on your sons and your daughters. Fall on us, Holy Spirit of Jesus. Bring your freedom, bring your power. I declare that you, Spirit of God, you set people free. You're setting people free in this room, even now, from addictions and anger and lies. And Spirit, you're bringing the privileges of Jesus. You're bringing his healing power. You're healing those who've been abused and used. Go to the deep places, Spirit of God. You're calling men into leadership. You're calling women into leadership. Spirit of God, fill them. Fill them with your presence and power. We need you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you all to keep your eyes closed. And I'm going to invite everyone to stand now. We want to keep some anonymity. We're going to have a song or two of response here. There'll be some of us here at the front. Some of you, you actually know you're not done. You know you need more prayer. I would love to pray with you. I'll be here as long as it takes. But the rest of us, we're going to sing. But if you need more, come to the front. Right here, you can grab a seat. There's lots of room in these front seats. And we'll spend some time praying, asking for a deeper work of the Spirit of God.